Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Online and archived at kfai.org. It's where community grows.
Filipino American National News is proud once again to have on the show former player in the Philippines and coach in the Philippines, Alex Compton. Welcome back to the show, Alex.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you for having me on. And I apologize for the setting of my very professional car right now, but it is basketball season, which means I have three kids and six teams. And a lot of driving. So I'm in my car.
You talked about being a part of the Nike Elite Camps, and you're one of the co-founders of the National Basketball Training Center in the Philippines. How has the improvement and the skill set of Filipino basketball players in the Philippines and here in the United States developed in those years since you started that?
So when we first started the NBTC, the idea was really, it was Coach Eric Altamirano's idea. We had founded the Nike Elite Camp together, which is, you know, basically what a lot of people know about the Nike Camp in the States. It was basically the same thing with some tweaks replicated in the Philippines for the top 80 high school players in the country, who don't know if he's listening, but congratulations to Nico Ramos, who is one of our first players in the original camp. He just took a big role with Nike Global, I think, and it's really cool to hear. But we started the Elite Camp, and then Coach Eric and I were talking. He said, you know, we have to have more time with the players, this is wonderful, but it's 6 days and we can do more for basketball in the country. And she started brainstorming. Initially, we were just going to train players in Manila, Cebu, and Davao, the three biggest cities, and train them and help them with their skills. And it morphed into a league, and it morphed into a national league, and it morphed into a lot of cities. And then it became the National High School Championships. And then finally, like, Coach Eric just never stops growing stuff. It really became an international, global event for Filipinos worldwide. So we have Phil Euro joining. We have people from New Zealand, Australia who fly in, USA, Canada. And you'll get a trip out of this, Alan. You know who coached the winning team from the Filipino-American team from the U.S. this year?
Was that you?
No. it was a guy who had a slightly better career than me and was only 10 times the player.
Okay,
and
I think I know.
10 times
okay, now I know.
A guy named Byron Scott?
Yes, yes. His wife's, his wife's Filipina, if I remember, it was
so funny to me, man. He was playing during the time where I fell in love with basketball because of Magic Bird, Lakers, Celtics. Like, those guys helped me fall in love with basketball. And then I'm handing the trophy for the NBTC championship to Byron Scott on stage, just thinking, this all started in Coach Eric's living room talking about how do we help more Filipinos play. It was just absolutely a surreal moment for me. I just was chuckling like, here you go, Coach. Congratulations. It was really cool. So it's been amazing to watch the game grow and develop and the Filipinos get better. The players get better. The coaches get better. It's really been an honor watching all that happen. But, and my but is this, everybody else in the world's gotten better too. So it's not like, oh, Filipinos have the copyright on getting better in basketball. It's no, everybody's getting better. And I watch kids. I mean, I remember seeing this in JV Casio when we first had him. He was a point guard for Gilas, and we got him at Powerade. And JV's a little shorter than me. Probably even a little slower than me, if that's believable, or when I played, I mean. But he did things I didn't know. Like, I didn't know that was a move. I didn't know that was a shot. I didn't know you could do that. And it wasn't because he was dunking on anybody. It was just he had a whole skill set that I had never been taught, that he learned growing up himself, and then he learned from Coach Ryko, and he learned from different people. And there were all these weird layup finishes and floaters and runners and – like things that, you know, guys our age, Alan, that's our coaches would have been screaming at us if we tried any of that stuff. Like, you want to sit on the bench, shoot that shot again. You know, meanwhile, they're looking like professionals. So we've seen the development of the Filipino worldwide be amazing. These kids are so good now. They know so much. But the same can also be said of players around the world in other countries as well. And it's amazing how good basketball players are now.
What I find astonishing in this day of age is what lengths that these young men and young women are going to chase that basketball dream. I mean, right there in Wisconsin, there was a Phil Australian, Kyle Andre Horandrea, who was playing at St. John North Academy in Delfield, who was putting up numbers out there, and now was playing Division II. And you have Uriah Tenet at New Mexico, that 5'10", dunking like he's 6'3". And you've been able to see this with your time here in the United States. What can you say about programs like the Phil-Am Select, and I think there's the Phil Canadian, and you've been able to go to some of the Labor Day tournaments?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think it's
great. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. Keep going.
Oh no, the growth of youth basketball. I think the one thing that I think we sleep on here, but we're starting to see it now in the NCAAs, is that the girls basketball is becoming stronger in the, especially in the Filipinas, because you don't necessarily have to be a six-footer to be dominant as a basketball player in the the girls field. So I hope that I encourage that there be more girls playing more just for the opportunities. When we last spoke in 2021, I believe the limit to get your passport to be in good standing to be ordered to play in the Philippines was 16, but there's been some recent talks about it moving to 18. Do you think that is a plus if that goes through?
Well, so yes, and let me ask you, Alan. I'm gonna shift and see if you can respond. Karamihan ng mga nakikinig ngayon, mga Pilipino ba? Is most of our listeners, are they Filipino?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, para sa lahat ng mga Pinoy, for all my Filipino brothers, man, get your passport. Like, don't wait. I've been saying this since I started coaching with Gilas when I found out about all this stuff. Like, look, in the worst case, if you get your passport before you're 16, because I saw a press release about them changing it to 18, but who knows, until it's final, like, get it as soon as you can. Do not wait, because there are guys that didn't, who missed on opportunities that they could have had. And you will never, this is my opinion, you will never regret getting the Filipino passport. I'm not Filipino. I don't have a passport. I can't. I was only born in the Philippines. My parents are Americans. I cannot become a citizen unless I get naturalized and give up my U.S. citizenship. So I never had the option to become a Filipino. But if you can, as someone of Philippine descent, if you can get your passport, please go get it. It gives you an access to this amazing country, this unique country. I mean, 7,100 islands, between 60 to 300 different languages, beauty all around, wonderful culture, filled with little subcultures, meaning, like, you know, people in Ilocos are a little bit different than people in Pangasinan and different in Davao. Like, there's such a richness to the culture and beauty. Like, get your passport. So again, I'm sorry to nerd out. You got me on a nerd out day. But the Philippines is amazing. So I think I've been trying to encourage as many Filipinos or people who are Phil-Am or Phil-Os or Phil-This or Phil-This, or, you know, your parents are both Filipino, but one of them got naturalized. Like, you won't regret it. Take the time. It's just a day or 2 days. Do the paperwork. Get your Filipino citizenship. And, you know, honestly, Alan, for the most part, most Filipinos, they're not going to be able to play for the national team because there's only 12 spots. So it's not like I'm saying this, like, out of some selfish, like, oh, we want basketball to be good and to give us the biggest pool. Yeah, give yourself the chance for that, for sure. But if you get your Filipino passport, man, you're giving yourself access to the motherland, to you know, I mean, it's just, it's a beautiful thing. So that's always my encouragement. So going back to the girls' basketball and getting your passport and playing, yes, there's a lot of opportunities for women opening up. They've done a great job with women's basketball in the Philippines. It's growing. It is a growing sport. And I know there's a lot of Filipinos who play. I've been fortunate enough to go to the Phil Nation Select Global Summit in Toronto this year and speak to them on parenting from our book and share with everyone there about how proud they should be to be a Filipino. Ako nga, proud nga ako, nasawa ko Pilipina. Lahat mga anak ko, Filipino. Ako, pinanganak naman ako sa Pilipinas. And dapat proud tayong lahat. So, you know, it's something to be proud of. It's a wonderful country. And get your passport, because you never know what the opportunities that'll present themselves. And basketball doesn't last forever, Alan.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people end up going back because they love living in the Philippines. And they get a job, and they go like, sarap pa lang buhay sa probinsya. May negosyo ako dito. Okay, I like it. So, you know, there's things there. Who knows what'll happen? So, sorry for the little rant again. Yes, questions, I talk too much.
Oh, no. For those things that you spoke about, those are some of the clear benefits. Jason Perkins was here this past summer, the C family, and asking him, like, how long do you think you're going to play in the PBA? And I can see how it's hard for him in his early 30s to say, not just quite yet to retire, because there's things that you're able to do there, the negotiations you have out there. It's hard to give up. And learning about your culture on top of that and learning the language. I mean, my gosh, your Tagalog accent is on point, Alex.
Well, I lived there for 22 years, so it wasn't like that in the beginning. I think in the beginning it sounded more like Anong Pangalang Mo.
We've seen some strides with Gilas on the international level. What do you think they need to do in terms of making a major breakthrough and being a more consistent winner? Does that require more of the Filipino American born athletes to really consider playing for the national team? I mean, we look at all the guys who are, you know, in the NBA at the moment, the Dylan Harpers, the Jalen Greens, the Jordan Clarkson, who we've seen participate. Would that make them a more competitive team, or what do you think it would be, would help Gilas moving forward?
So I'm a huge fan of the concept of meritocracy to a certain extent. And when I say to a certain extent, I just mean it in this context. Like, you don't always form the best team from all the best players. So if your best players are five point guards, then you can't have five point guards. You need other positions, right? But anyways, I'm a huge fan of the idea of just get the best players. So I don't know if you know J. Mark Tordesillas, but great journalist. He interviewed me maybe 14 years ago. And we were talking, and he was asking me about the Phil-Am controversy. And being somebody who's not a Phil-Am, I'm an Am-Am, who's feel-feel, meaning feeling Filipino, I feel like I'm able to speak freely on it without any bias. And that is, if you're a legal citizen of any country, then you can play for that country. This is why those passports are important. If you're a legal citizen and you can play, how about we get the people who are legal citizens who can play? Whoever that is. And I seriously, I don't care if you're born in Nasipit or Tawi-Tawi or Pagudbud or like wherever. It doesn't matter. Or Russia or, you know, if you're a legal Filipino citizen and you're a good basketball player and you help Gilas be better, then let the coach decide their you know, who they're going to put together to form the best team. I mean, I don't think that we lack great coaches. In my opinion, Coach Tab Baldwin's the best coach I've ever been around, and I got to be his assistant at Gilas. That was amazing. Chot Reyes is clearly an incredible coach. Clearly. Whether people like him or not, or any criticism he's got has been – I mean, that's just part of it. Chot's the first guy to tell me, hey, Alex, just remember, when you get hired, you're a head coach now. Us coaches are hired to be fired. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a stud coach, man. And he is somebody who throws himself into learning. Like, he is a voracious learner, student of the game, student of leadership, understanding psychology in people and organizations. Right? That guy can coach. He doesn't win that much by accident. Coach Tim Cohn. Oh, okay. What's he got? 584 PBA championships, something like that. He was born. I think he was born with 10 rings on his toes and fingers already. Like, he's got so many. So we've got great coaches. Let him coach, right? Let's just get the best players. If they're a legal citizen, they're a legal citizen. I always find that is the easiest way to address this. Now, don't get anybody who's going to lie. Don't go outside of the rules. I don't think we've been doing that at all. But you know, our disadvantage is always going to be height, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's just a fact. The average height of the Filipino is, you know, put us in comparison to the Dutch, tallest country in the world, or people from South Sudan. A buddy of mine helps run that national team. I mean, they're huge, right? We don't have huge but we got heart. We got some skills. So yeah, I would hope. I know everything's emotional, and the reason there's so much passion behind Gilas and what happens is because it's the national team and it's our country and it's the passion of the nation. So I totally get it. I just hope that everybody would, you know, throw their full support behind it. And I do think after COVID, it seems like there seemed to be some competition and some a little bit of factions around the national team. And it feels like those factions have come together. And I think that's really good for the country and the program. And I was really happy to see that.
Well, with us both being in the Midwest, and I haven't checked an update as of late, I mean, we could be cheering for a Philippine team in curling if they qualify for the Winter Olympics. So we could see a curling boom in interest in the Philippines in the next couple months or so.
So no joke. I got to tell you this, Alan. My daughter's softball coach grew up like outside of Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And he's like, yeah, I do curling in the winter, too, if you want to bring the kids down. So I got three Phil-Ams, man. I got to get them into curling. Get them trained up early. I'm from Wisconsin. I don't even know how to do that sport, man. I know what it is, but I can't do that.
You said one of the best things about moving back here to the United States is the time with your children. That time is something that you can't get back, as they say. When your kids reach that certain age, do you have the itch to go back coaching professionally?
I don't know that I have the itch. I've learned enough now to say that I shouldn't say never. So honestly, the day that I got fired from Alaska, I had a bunch of offers right away. And that was flattering, but I was so burnt out, Alan. Mm-hmm. I was so burnt out. And I just asked them kindly, can we talk after the new year? I need a few months. It's been 5 years of me going hard. And during everybody else's break, I'm with Gilas. And like, I feel like I'm done, but like, just give me time. So to be back in that life and that lifestyle, it may require me to be an empty nester. And that would be, you know, the thing is, there are so many great coaches who throw themselves into the game. And if that was to be something I was supposed to do, then yes, I would be open to going back and doing it. That certainly doesn't feel like right now. And you know, it kind of feels like it's a bunch of other younger coaches' turns. And, you know, yeah, just you want other guys to have that chance to experience leading in that type of atmosphere, to experience the, no, lahat naman yan, nasa balikat mo. Kahit hindi mo kasalanan, kasalanan mo. Okay lang. Paano mong haharapin? You know, you have to figure out like just the weight of leadership, right? And that's a good thing for a lot of people. It's testing, it's hard, and it's challenging. But a lot of guys are want that and are longing for that. So I'll never say never. But I think I'd have to be an empty nester because I really want to be present with my kids.
Alex, what did this honor mean to you? I saw that you are part of the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association Hall of Fame. Did that surprise you that you were elected or inducted into that association?
I think there are certain things that I guess you never think of. So I honest to goodness was just never thinking about it. It's a state association. It's a great association. I'm a member now. And I don't mean like I'm a member of the Hall of Fame. I'm in the Hall of Fame, but I'm a member as a member. Like I believe in the organization. It's a wonderful thing, but I wasn't then. I didn't, you know, so it wasn't something I was thinking about. But it's interesting, you know, like if I was to honestly evaluate myself as a player in high school, I would have said at that time, loves playing, can shoot it a little bit, good passer, could work on his defense. They got a good team. looks like he's a pretty good leader. But I don't feel like there was a whole lot of wow about my game. That's me personally. But I do feel like the best strength that I probably had as a player was bringing people together and helping the team congeal better. And actually, it's a lesser ability of the same ability that Jimmy Alapag has. I think he is phenomenal at bringing teams together. And I think I was pretty good at it. And whenever you get something like that, like, man, I had so many good players on my high school team. My best friend could just shoot it and score it. Our big guys were so underrated, and we won state, and all that happened because we won state, and we beat the number 11 ranked team. But it was a very meaningful thing for me, Alan, but I am certain there are more talented players than me who didn't make it, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I had a really good team, and those guys, we all made each other better, and that's part of the beauty of team sport. And the fun thing was, two guys that went in with me, almost exactly my size. Steve Novak, who played for Marquette and for a long time for the New York Knicks there with Lynn Sanity. He's, I don't know, like 6'10", 6'11". And Brian Butch, who's 7 feet. So, you know, at 5'10", I think I'm somewhere up to their rib cages. But it was fun going in with them, yeah.
Pasko na, sinta ko, hanap kita, bakit magtatampot, nilisan ako, kung mawawala ka, sa piling ko sinta, paano ang Pasko? Sinta, paano ang Pasko?